Blog Talk Radio.
I'm bugging.
I got the choice to make ya jump, because I'm heading eastbound, tired of the merry-go-round and around, and everybody's talking about your stuff funny, but they're still telling lies to me. I got the trees in my backyard, and it's hard for them to tell a lie to me. And who's the foot? I'm the foot, but who's stepping? You know where I'm stepping. Skirts play with it, cause I'm slick like that. I'm the greatest MC in the world. You got to give me mine, cause I'm heavy when I weigh it. Watch the way I say it.
Ego trip.
I changed my pitch up, smack my bitch up, I never did it. The flavor's being bucked, but brothers ain't getting it. Get it? Or else you're a goner. When I rolls over, you're gonna have to wanna lamp. Cause it's the Chattanooga champ.
Taking a train.
Now I'm something like a phenomenon. I'm something like a phenomenon. Well, I'm the hourglass cat, drug it out of Jack.
For chill.
Cause I still the phenomenon. Pack the holes in my lawn. Got girls in my song. Word is born. I'm a living phenomenon. Well, I'm a better brand. Cause I'm a Superman. I run the block with my circle. Cause I'm Nubian. I got the platinum rust. So don't even fuck. Cause DJ Paul, he's down with us. Now people stop taking my style, and for a joke I don't sass the brass. I put the foot up the ass. Sometimes I fast walk off like a seal.
When they reminisce over you.
For real. Mace chopped the record down to the bone. And now Renee King is on my telephone. But I got the ring ring, ha ha hey hey.
Cause this type of shit happens every day.
I got the McNair connection, so my import stuff.
Word.
What word am I? Cause I'm so fly. Yes, on and on. I'm in like River. Rob. I got skills like Johnny. Sell that 7L. What's good for ya?
What's up, what's up? Good evening. Good evening. Hope you all enjoying yourselves on this wonderful summer evening. The weather's great here in Cincinnati. I hope it's great wherever you're at, too. Prayers go out to the folks in Charleston, West Virginia, by the way. But at any rate, this is Scott Burks, and this is the Clown Hour. And I'm the creator of the sports blog, The Clown Times. This class for K, by the way. You're able to find me on the web at www.theclowntimes.net. And you're able to find me on Facebook as well. Just participate in my typical tomfoolery as we embark in the middle of the dark days of summer. Again, just do a search for The Clown Times. Again, it's Clown Slover K. In the search window in the upper left-hand corner on Facebook, you'll be able to find me there. So we did the NBA draft last week. And a little bit of the NBA trades going with the Derrick Rose trade to my beloved Knicks and whatnot. But now we're going to just do a little wrap of the NBA draft, like see which team messed up, see who had a better draft, all that good stuff. So at any rate, about to join me with this is my man from last week. Y'all know I'm Dwayne Nash from The Yard / HBCU Sports. Please tune into this radio show every Tuesday called Sleazy Radio as well. So Dwayne, what's up, brother? How you been?
Scott, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm chilling, brother. I'm just enjoying this rare, nice summer night here. I think it was in the high 70s, low 80s today in Cincinnati, which was a treat to me. So I hope the weather is better in Maryland.
Actually, the weather was fantastic today. After it being two of the hottest days so far of the year, Sunday and yes, well, actually Monday and Tuesday, today it was
right.
Mid-80s, low to mid-80s. So, you know, it's just kind of interesting
nice.
Going through this weather report today. But it was nice and breezy today. So, yeah, it was a nice respite from what we normally would have around this time in terms of the humidity here in the D.C. area.
Nice. Well, you know, I got to share this one quick story right quick. When we first moved to Washington, D.C. in 2012, silly me, coming from North Carolina, from Raleigh, I was under the assumption that the weather would be less heat intensive, less humid. Boy, was I wrong. I mean, it's a brutal winter as well as equally brutal summers. I learned that the hard way. I'm like, God dang, man.
Oh,
it was so hot.
The humidity here is completely oppressive. I will say, living in both Carolinas, both North and South, that was the one thing I really didn't miss, was the humidity here. The heat is really driven by the humidity here in the D.C. area. I would prefer a Carolina summer over a D.C. summer any day.
Yeah, because at least you have a little bit of breeze down south because you have trees and less buildings and not a lot of asphalt. And, man, walking around in the district during the days, man, working, like taking those long walk breaks, like, woo-wee, woo.
Insane. Woo. But the one thing I will say, the sights, being a single man here in the district, the sights are a whole lot better while you're walking around in this humidity. So if you can withstand the humidity, you'll be pleased with what you see while you're walking around in the streets.
Just as the case when we're A&T, brother, our eyes will be blessed. Now I'll leave that there. There's a God out there. Moving on along, speaking of gods out there, let's talk about the NBA draft, shall we? You know, we all know what happened. I mean, it wasn't much suspense after the number two pick of the draft, to be honest with you, at least from my point of view. It all came down to who was going to go first, Ben Simmons or Brandon Ingram. So even though Ben Simmons was a top overall pick, even though he might have the bigger upside of the two, do you think in your mind that he was a little overrated as the number one overall pick, given that what he did at LSU?
A little bit overrated? I don't know if I would say that. Unfortunately, it seems as though that a lot of NBA teams are drafting for that one big thing, of course, which is potential. They're not looking for the here and now in terms of looking to fix what's going on with their teams currently. But when you have teams like L.A. and Philly, you need to be looking to fix the long term because they need a lot of help and a lot of help, not just now, but in the future as well. God, I would say out of the talent pool that we've seen, I would probably say that they were probably 1-2 overall. You want to split hairs in terms of who you feel is better or should have been 1 or 2 is a real slight one, and I do give that slight advantage over to Ben Simmons, and that's only because of Simmons' free throw shooting over Ingram's. Ingram isn't, for whatever reason, I don't know what it is. It seems as though that players don't greatly improve in free throw shooting once they get into the NBA. And that's something I know that Ingram is going to have to work on doing once he starts playing in the league. And I don't really see a drastic change. He may improve, but I don't see it being a drastic thing. And as of right now, that's why I give the slight advantage to Simmons.
You know what? I had the opportunity of watching, being an ACC guy that I am, watching Brandon Ingram a lot at Duke. I watched him improve over the year. Now, I'll tell you this. I knew that, you know, like keep an eye on all things Kingston, North Carolina sports for some reason. I knew that Ingram was a big deal coming to Duke, but I had no idea that Duke would improve so much over the season. And that's why I was a bit, like, I guess, biased because I watched him play a lot and watched him mature, progress over the season. He went from a dude who had crazy handles and a long-rangey guy to a guy who developed a reliable three-point shot and getting his own shot, putting the ball on the floor. I mean, it was just awesome to see him progress the way he did over this past season. Now, I watched Ben Simmons a lot. And I don't know if Simmons was just interested or having to go to school for a year. I don't know if it's just from the idea of him playing on a sorry-ass LSU team. I don't know.
He made a choice.
I mean, I guess his godfather is coaching on the team. I forgot the whole story with that, but there's a connection there. But still, I mean, I was one of the ones at LSU, really, dude. But, I mean – I saw some flash from Simmons. I saw why he had all the goods, but again, I'm like, is he thinking about the next level? Does he not give a damn about college? So it was hard for me to be totally sold on Simmons, but I do think that Simmons does have the higher upside. I would stop short of comparing him to LeBron James. Come on, I saw stop short too comparing any of these kids to any stars. It's not fair to the kids who are stars. Let's just see how it plays out. But I'll tell you what, I think the Lakers got to help with draft pick in Ingram. I think he'll flourish in L.A. I think that he won't have the pressure as much because to go on as the number one overall pick, he's going to L.A. where the Lakers already stink. But I think he has a better chance of force because it's not the Lakers have nowhere to go but up. So basically, do you think that Simmons is a high upside, make a better pro in Philly, or do you think Ingram will make the better pro in L.A.?
God, see, and I'm glad that you asked that question because I did have that answer originally of who had the better upside between Simmons and Ingram coming out of the draft. And that aspect, and that's something I didn't think about in terms of Ingram having a nicer outside jumper because, of course, that was one of the criticisms with Ben Simmons was his inability to be consistent with a J. But that's something, of course, he can improve on as his career progresses. But who has the opportunity potentially to be a better player? That kind of also ties in with the team that they're playing on as well, in my personal opinion. I believe that L.A. has a better opportunity in becoming a better team quicker than Philadelphia does, just because of recent history, in my personal opinion, with the moves that Philly has made. Now, I understand that front office and that head coach has now changed. But until Philly until they're capable of proving it to me, I'm at to stick with L.A. as of right now. But L.A., the thing is this. Both teams, they have a lot of room to grow and a lot of opportunity to do so because they have the most money to spend out of any other team in the league in terms of cap space, being that they currently have the lowest salaries in terms of team salaries. I think the Lakers have the most room of anyone, but Philly is right there at number two. The thing is, what city would be a more attractive spot to go to in terms of L.A. And Philadelphia and whether or not a free agent would be willing to go to either city? God, who would you rather play with? That's I guess those are the things
Both teams stink.
I mean, It happens to be that Philly stinks more, but as of right now, currently, as the rosters are currently built, because both teams have LA has more free agents that they had to sign than Philly does. Philly is a little bit more attractive because of who they currently have. Like, we don't know who will come to LA. We already know that Kevin Durant doesn't want to come to LA because he's already excluded them. Jordan Clarkson is a restricted free agent on that squad, as is the power forward that's there on the team? Julius Randle.
Right.
Yeah, both of them are, if I remember correctly, are restricted free agents. And we'll see whether or not they're capable of bringing those two back. If they do, along with D'Angelo Russell, L.A. would have a better young nucleus than Philly, in my personal opinion. So, God, it just depends upon if L.A. is capable of bringing, especially Randle, back in that fold. And I think quality players in L.A. would boost Ingram into becoming a better player.
I hear you, brother. I hear you. It's sad that two-story franchises in the NBA stink so bad, like Philly and LA. Well, check that. They don't just stink; they suck. They suck.
They are horrid.
God, I mean, it's like Sam Hinkie or whatever that clown's name is. It's good that ran that team to the ground with his quote trust the process bullcrap. I mean, he just kept tanking year after year after year after year, collecting pick after pick after pick, and then the show for us. So thank God his ass is out telling you ball and DeColangelo's to write that shit. I think DeColangelo's will get that shit right in sooner rather than later, in my opinion. All they need is a decent shooter. And they're courting your boy, the cat from Golden State, who didn't show up in the finals. I can't think of his name to save my life right now. But I'll get to him in a minute. We'll talk about
Harrison Barnes.
Harrison Barnes, there you go. We'll talk about his ass when we get to it. But
One other thing,
LA,
real quick, Scott. I completely forgot.
Yeah,
I completely forgot. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
The other thing that's going to benefit either player is what position would they play exactly. I know that they say that Ingram needs to get a little bit bigger, so does that mean that they're going to want to play him at the four, or will he play the three? If they sign Randle, they probably will play him at the three. Same thing goes with Simmons in Philly. Will you play the three, the four, or the five? And if he plays the three, does that mean that they'll move Robert Covington over to the two? Or is Noel's going to be healthy to facilitate Simmons being played at the three? Or will Simmons move to four, because, of course, he has the size to do so, and then they move Okafor over to the five, and then they keep Covington at three, and then they just go ahead and bring in some backcourt help? So it'll be interesting to see exactly where they play these guys. I think that'll have a lot to do on who ends up being a better player between the two.
You know, that's a great point. That's a great point. It speaks, again, to the Colangelo. They'll get that figured out. They have a decent coach from the San Antonio tree. I forget his name. He's some dude right now. But I think between the Colangelos and their coach, I think they'll get that situation straightened out sooner rather than later. The Lakers, I'm not so sure. Especially with Jim Buss running the show. I don't know why he still has a job. I don't know why his sister Jeannie still keeping his ass there. Didn't fire him yet. Should have fired his ass a long time ago. He's run that team to the ground. So I don't know. But to your point, I think Philly just maybe, he actually convinced me of this, may be the best spot. And like right now, in terms of potential to improve over the next maybe couple of seasons or so. So good luck to Book Brothers nonetheless. I mean, it's such a crapshoot, the NBA draft, or any sports draft. But good luck to those two brothers. And speaking of such a crapshoot, I mean, it's after I mentioned earlier, after those two cats went, the rest was just like, who cares, almost. It's like, I mean, I guess the only thing was, where was Buddy Hell going to go? Well, I guess a couple other guys are going to go. The international players, who were those guys? So
yeah.
I can't really call and say who had the best draft per se, because I just don't know. I just say this. I think I have an idea of who had the worst draft in terms of expectations. And that to me is Boston Celtics. And it's not really Celtics' fault. They had eight draft picks to choose from, like to play with. It's just that there was no one the talent level as the top two picks, that they were just stuck. They couldn't make a deal for the guys. They tried to make deals throughout the entire draft night, but you know, any agent company just couldn't find anyone to justify pulling the trigger for. So who in your mind in this top two of a draft had the worst draft in your mind?
Wow. Slightly behind the Boston Celtics. Actually, no, I have them right above the Boston Celtics. The reason why I find it interesting that Boston had such a bad draft was because of the fact that they wanted to attempt to parlay the picks that they had into talent that's currently playing in the league. It just didn't work. So we'll see if this young talent that they're bringing in will be able to help, because God knows, I don't know if necessarily young talent is what Boston needs. I think they need some more veteran experience onto that squad and a superstar at best to come in and push that team a little bit further. But just above Boston, I have, unfortunately, my Washington Wizards as being the team that had the worst draft. Now, yes, sure.
Oh, wow.
I understand. Was basically parlayed into Marquise Morris. I know this. I understand it. I get it. But not to even have a second-round pick to try to bring in some additional talent, for them to look at, instead of just having, you know, another free or instead of young undrafted free agents brought in to the team, just it grinds my gears, man. I'm like, Ernie, what are you doing? But Ernie probably would have messed that pick up by drafting another foreigner. Yeah, I shouldn't say that. Another international player. Let me be PC. By drafting another international player and stashing him overseas to become trash when he comes over to the league. So I don't know if taking the power from Ernie away from him not having a draft pick at all wasn't a good thing. But I would have liked to have seen him do something during draft day. But to do absolutely nothing, it bothered me. And the Wizards is another one of those teams who, yes, have a lot of money, but it's not a great free agent destination. And who knows what they're going to end up doing, especially with the dreams of KD2BC, which was dancing in everyone's heads 2 years ago, is now completely eliminated because he don't even want to come to the city. He don't even want to entertain that. How bad is it? He's willing to entertain Philly, but not even D.C. So, you know, it just makes me – I mean, I understand why he does it. And being a D.C. native, I completely agree with him. I don't want them troubles. I don't want them troubles of still being one of the best players in the league, coming home, having to deal with either the criticism and or the excess BS that comes with being a hometown hero and coming home to do so. I wouldn't want to do it either. But, my God, man, just come out and just say, those two cities I don't even want to deal with, lets me know that he just doesn't have any belief in either team turning it around.
You know, interesting segue. Perfect segue to what I'm going to bring up next. The one free agency, the summer of Kevin Garnett, of Kevin Durant. Excuse me, I was calling Kevin Garnett. Kevin Durant. It was known rumor that he was going to consider going back home a la LeBron James, but to your point, he wouldn't even consider it. So he wouldn't even consider the Lakers. He may entertain my Knicks, just maybe he's not going to take a meeting anytime soon. So I know he's taking meetings from the Clippers, Warriors, Thunder, and the Spurs, and maybe the Celtics, I think. So in your mind, in the summer of Durant, where would you advise Kevin Durant to sign?
You know what? If I had his number, and, you know, I just happen to give him a call later today, you know, I would say, hey, yo, KD, stop playing around. I don't even know why you're entertaining these other teams. Why are you entertaining New York? Why are you entertaining Atlanta? Why are you giving these teams hope? Let's be real. They're truthfully, in my personal opinion, three places this dude needs to go. And just go ahead and sign a two-year deal. If it don't work, then you have an opportunity to leave sooner than later. Right? First and foremost,
right,
I would suggest that he stay at home. Stay in OKC.
Yes.
Don't go nowhere.
Yes.
Truthfully,
totally agree. Totally.
You know, they had Golden State on the ropes. I'm not going to be one of those fools and say that OKC could have beaten Cleveland in the finals because the way that Cleveland looked in games 5, 6, and 7, anything could have happened. OKC thoroughly outplayed Golden State in those first four or five games. But for whatever reason, of course, couldn't hang on. If they can bring that magic back, which I almost kind of doubt because they lose the defensive prowess of Serge Ibaka, but they do bring in another scorer and your boy from Orlando. God, I keep forgetting his name. Oladipo.
Oladipo, yeah.
Yeah, you bring in Oladipo. You know, DC guy into OKC. I think that's something that they're going to need on that squad in order to win. But I think it hurts them a little bit to lose Ibaka, but I like their chances with that additional score. But if he says, D-Nash, D-Nash, I don't want to stay in Oklahoma City. I want to go someplace else. I would say, all right, dude, San Antonio, or Golden State, because we already know they're on the cusp of winning the title. They're one player away, if that in Golden State's case, because we all know they could have won the title if somebody would have trying to play hero ball and just do what he normally did during the regular season, but I'm not going to place blame on Steph Curry like that, not right now. But if he ends up going anyplace else, San Antonio, Golden State, those are the only two places, maybe Miami. Those are the only three places I would suggest he go because they're right there on the cusp of winning the title if he decides to leave home. OKC, I should say.
You know what? I totally agree with the fact that Kevin Durant should just stop the song and dance and just keep his ass in OKC. I mean, he was, his team was this close. An epic choke job in game six, mind you, but nevertheless, this close to representing the West in the East in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
They outballed Golden State. They hustled them for most of the series. They just choked at the end. And to think, and then the thought of him joining the Golden State, though Golden State obviously would love to have him, it's almost as if you say, if you can't beat him, join him. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, that's not, to me, I would lose respect for a person who's an alleged superstar to join a team that he couldn't get over the hump. You know what I mean? That join a team that he couldn't beat. I maybe that's old school. That's the old school of me, but I don't like players joining teams in the attempt of, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. That's just not, to me, that just doesn't say a lot. And
I'm Charles Barkley and Clyde Drexler.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, God bless him. Clyde Drexler won a ring with Houston, but again, there's just something to be said about going to a team, joining a team and taking them to the next level instead of joining a team that you can't beat. I completely agree.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Though. I had to pick with you a little bit on that, but I completely agree with you. That whole, you know, I'm capable of doing it with the team that I've been doing it with for years. But my thought process, I guess, if I was an NBA player, is if I'm capable of being a strong contributor, if not a star, if I joined a team I couldn't beat, then I probably wouldn't feel any less different winning the title there either. But I see your point, and I completely agree with you that, you know, being a fan, it looks that way. But, you know, of course, everyone wants to win a title. Everyone wants to win a title.
Right. Hey, God bless them. I'm just saying. There's something to be said about taking a team to the next level instead of you can't beat them, join them type of deal, which is why I think Miami is very attractive. Sure, they have to win Wade, and sure, Wade had a hell of a season last year. I mean, give him props for that. How about certain that? How about watching Dwayne Wade in Game 6 of the open of the Eastern Conference first round against Charlotte, shutting up that annoying ass guy in a purple shirt? That was legendary. And like in the words of Mark Jackson at that game, dude in purple shirt, sit down.
Please.
He did that. So, but imagine a squad with Dwayne Wade, Kevin Durant, and just say if they resign Hassan Whiteside, and if Chris Bosh is healthy, imagine that squad. For a minute.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, imagine that squad for a minute. Durant wouldn't have to do it all on his own. He has a rim protector. He would have a rim protector and Whiteside. He has another road dog like a Rough Rider and Wade and possibly Bosh. And he has a coaching of Eric Spoelstra and the wizardry of Pat Riley in the front office. Imagine that squad in the East. Imagine that squad in the East to go against LeBron James and Cleveland. I'm just saying. I'm not saying it will happen. I'm just saying, think of the possibilities. If Kevin Durant really wants to enhance his legacy, taking a team to the next level, he should consider Miami. Now, San Antonio, I get the allure of San Antonio. They have the cap space. They have the – sure as hell has the coach in the front office. I mean, you can't get any better than Greg Popovich.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing is that, but I just, in his OKC Thunder did smack down San Antonio in the playoffs. So I could see that as well. I just don't see, again, him joining Golden State in the sense of if you can't beat him, join him. But really, guys, but really, dude, he just keep his ass at OKC. Again,
yeah.
This close. At least I'll do a 1-year deal. Do a 2-year deal with a 1-year option, play option.
Uh-huh.
So he can, so that he and his boy, Derek Westbrook, Mark Westbrook, will become free agents at the same time. That's what I think that he should do. And that would make one hell of an NBA free agency summer in 2017. So that's what I think that should happen.
I completely agree with you. It's Russell. You called him Michael, but that's fine because I do the same thing.
Oh, Russell Westbrook. I know why. I think about the Redskins. I think about Michael Westbrook and the Redskins. What the hell, man? I'm thinking my football season already. I want football season head down, but that's another podcast for another time. oh God, I'm thinking Redskins football. But anyway, sorry about that, bro.
That's fine. That's why I just found it funny when you did it because I know I do it all the time.
Oh, God. Well, there you go. We all have it happens to the best of us. So, going from one desirable free agent to one least desirable, Dwight Howard. Perhaps the softest big man in the history of the NBA. He's a free agent.
Uh-huh.
His ass wanted out of Houston, which I can't blame him for that. But who in the right mind would want to sign this cat? I mean, even if he's right, I don't think he's all that motivated. I don't think he gives a damn about winning that much. I think his mantra is the sun's going to shine another day. You know, he gets to count his money. I don't know if I want him. I don't know if anything should want him. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he should retire. Maybe he should go on TV. Maybe he should hide Kilimanjaro. I don't know who wants this clown. But as soon as I say that, some other fool out there, boo-boo the fool, want to sign him. So let's just say for a minute there are indeed boo-boo the fools in the NBA, which I'm sure we all agree with that they are. But let's just that for public record, all the teams in the league are boo-boo the fools.
Mm-hmm.
Who should sign Dwight Howard? What's the best situation for Howard, the softest man, big man in NBA history? Who's the best team for him?
Oh, my God. You know what? Because my initial issue, and this goes back to his Laker years, my initial issue was that, you know, going out to L.A., you know, he had the specter of Shaq and especially Shaq, Kareem, Wilt, and all the Laker center lore riding his shoulders, along with Kobe in his face every day. So, and I also thought, you know, being in the big city for him was going to be an issue. So him going to Houston, I thought that would help. And statistically, it helped a little bit, but for whatever reason, man, the eyeball test, it just didn't look right. And so it's not a big city issue because being in Houston proved that he still got issues there. Oh, man. If I was a gambling man, truthfully, I would narrow it down to two spots, and it would either be Orlando. It's weird, but he should have never left Orlando in the first place. And I'm thinking that front court. Exactly. I'm thinking that at front court of Ibaka and Howard would be great defensively, and then you bring in a guy that's also just about a double-double machine in Howard. So you have that quality up there, so they'll have room to go ahead and bring in some front court help for him as well, because I know they got a lot of youth on that squad. Another spot, he goes back home. I hate having to hint or have these conversations about players going home, but I'm thinking that this will be a good spot for him to go back to Atlanta and be with the Hawks, being, of course, that he is from Atlanta, one. And two, They need help defensively as well. He wouldn't necessarily be – no, actually, no, he would be a star in essence on that squad. I guess he would be the starriest of stars on that no-name Atlanta Hawks team, even though they just got rid of their best player in Jeff Teague, in my personal opinion. Probably will lose Al Horford if they're not capable of bringing in Dwight Howard, but I don't know. I just think that those would probably be the best two places for him. I can't think of another place because I don't think he could coexist with another superstar. And I don't think he could play in a big market. So it has to be a mid-sized market where he's probably the biggest name there. And those are the two quick cities that I can think of.
You know what? I agree more. He should have, again, I think Orlando with Melkman back, especially with Serge Ibaka there now and like that trade. And I think Atlanta is not a bad spot for him. I think he needs some home cooking. I think he needs to get his mind right. Atlanta's more or less under the radar. And he won't, you know, there's not another superstar there with him. I don't consider Howard a superstar, by the way. He's just a dude right now to me. So.
Oh, yeah, he is.
You can't even consider the softest big man in the NBA a superstar. I'm sorry. But I was thinking, part of me was thinking Boston maybe. But to your point, a big city, and plus Boston is such a fishbowl, he's well under that pressure too. I mean, he just needs what he really needs. The old boy from the Wizard of Oz should give his ass a heart. I mean, he's like the Tin Man. He's a black Tin Man. That's what he is. He's a black Tin Man, 7'11" Tin Man, mind the paint, not knowing well what to do, with no offensive game whatsoever, no heart. No, thank you. But I have a funny feeling.
So he's Nipsey Russell.
Nipsey Russell has more heart than that fool does. I mean, Nipsey Russell has more heart than that fool does. I mean, even Nipsey Russell, I mean, God bless him, God rest his soul, as an old-ass Tin Man has more heart than that fool. He needs a heart transplant. I can't believe it's so soft, man. I mean, golly! Oh man, it just hurts my feelings watching the dude with so much talent just punk himself out in front of our very eyes like that. It's just disturbingly. It's just so disturbing. But you know, again, he's soft. He is what he is. You can't teach a guy heart. He has it or he doesn't. But I was gonna say that. I have a funny feeling that one Michael Jeffrey Jordan may pull the trigger on him, and I think they'll wreck that Charlotte locker room if he brings that clown in. Let's just hope for Charlotte's sake and for Jordan's own sake, he doesn't make the same mistake that he did with Lance Stevenson a couple of seasons ago. So I'm gonna get you out of here on this. There are other notable free agents out there that are under the radar that will improve a lot of teams. I think that Joseph Noah would help improve a lot of teams. He's great. He's a hell of a defender. He has a motor, and he has something that Dwight Howard would never have, and that's heart and lots of it.
True.
I think he'll help my Knicks a lot. I think he'll help my Knicks a lot. I think he'll help the Celtics. I think he'll help Miami if the Heat loses Whiteside to the Lakers or whoever. So who are your under the radar, so to speak, free agents that should be getting a little bit of love here?
God, my under-the-radar guys, of course, they're those guys that are probably somewhere between 7 and 12, guys that you don't hear a lot of talk about. So, of course, Hassan Whiteside is one of them. Al Horford is a big guy that I'm looking at right now in terms of under-the-radar and who needs to be looked at. Also, I'm trying to think, who else? If Bradley Beal can stay healthy, that's another guy that needs to be watched in terms of what he can do either as a starter for someone or on a mid-range or a mid-level team to a sixth man coming off the bench for someone on a upper-tier team. I'm trying to think of one more guy that I'm liking out of this free agency class that people need to keep an eye on. I mean, I kind of want to see what DeMar DeRozan does. I'm not overly interested to see where he goes, but he is a talent. Also, Drummond, the center out of Detroit. I want to see where he goes. That's the other guy that I completely almost forgot about that I'm keeping my eyes on to see where he goes.
He's a great player.
And signs.
He's a great young
player. Yes, he is. He's a great guy out of the middle. I'll be interested to see where he ends up as well.
Dwayne, it's been fun, man. Thanks a lot for rapping with me about all things NBA and free agency. And please send a prayer to Dwight Howard's heart that it comes back to his body somehow sometime soon.
Hey, I have I just wonder if he wants to know what he would do if he could actually feel. You know, just another – that's the second Nipsey Russell reference I've had tonight. I don't know how I feel about that. But
you know, that
is there some way
–
yes, exactly.
Old.
If there's some way we can go to Richard Pryor and have him give him a heart, that'll be the best.
Oh, Lord Jesus. On that note, Richard Pryor, take care, man. Have a good rest of the week, brother. I'll be checking you out.
All right, same here, brother. You take it easy.
All right, peace out. This is my man, Dwayne Nash, helping me break down the NBA draft and going into free agency a little bit. Yeah, that damn Dwight Howard. At this podcast, I'm going to pray for him. Send him a prayer request. So, Lord, please bring back the Black Tin Man heart. Or do something, because anyway, I'm not going to waste my time on him. Thanks a lot for tuning in, y'all. This is To the Clown, this is Scott Burks. Signing out. 06, y'all. Have a good night and the rest of the week.